Hark! Like, hark, y'all. What? How many of y'all use that word on a daily basis? A new word to you? Does anybody know what it means? Okay, you're close. Anybody? Hark? Listen, listen here. Listen up. Yes, I've got good news. Hark! Let me hear you say it. Hark! Good. You can use this at home. Wives, husbands. Yeah, I really want to tell a story right now, but I'm not going to do it. But Lisa, if you really want my attention, try that this week, all right? Sometimes we just kind of mumble through the day. Okay, I'm listening. Yeah, anyway, hark. Man, so we've got this word hark. We've been talking about Advent, all these old English words. Maybe some things are new to you. Maybe this is a way to kind of come back to simple and traditional Christmas time, because it's here and it's amazing. But a lot of times, if we're honest, Christmas kind of takes us away from what really is the most important thing of all. And that is the good news of Jesus Christ. So we say, hark, we're saying, listen, turn away from the things of the world and turn towards Jesus. He is the reason. And he is why we're here today. And when we talk about Advent, we're talking about pulling away from maybe some of the cultural things and just coming together as family. And listening to the good news of Jesus. So we say hark, it carries a lot of meaning. And the good news is, as we've sung about, as we've heard about, the good news is that God literally came from heaven to earth and put skin on and joined us on our planet in the name of Jesus and changed history forever. So here we are, maybe for just an hour and a half a week. But hopefully throughout the week, to find time to stop and to slow down and to listen and to live the good news that God has for us in Christ. And if we do, we'll find a God that didn't just change history, but will change our lives as well. And today, as we talk about this word, hope, and what it means for us, I believe this is a word that if we'll understand it from a perspective of history, that Christ's birth began to be talked about and predicted and celebrated thousands of years before he actually came. And then the story progressed through his birth in Bethlehem and celebrated with the angels and shepherds. We've got a story worth listening to and worth telling others, a story of hope. So I got to ask you today, have you ever really hoped for anything? Like really hoped for something? I mean, when we talk about hope, we're talking about this expectation of something, a confident expectation. And the thing about hope is it's a dangerous thing, because if you start hoping in something, then you're kind of putting yourself out there. You're becoming vulnerable to being hurt, right? So you set these expectations and then who knows what's going to happen. But hope is saying, I'm going to hope in spite of those things. So have you ever hoped for something? Like maybe as a kid, I know me for, you know, we started hoping and looking forward to and expecting Christmas months ahead of Christmas time, making our Christmas list. And then as the days drew near, you know, it's like weeks went by and then it became days and then it became hours, and this hope, just kind of this expectation built up in us. Or maybe it's something else in your life. Have you ever hoped for something for days at a time? Yeah. Weeks at a time, months or even years at a time. Has there been something in your life that you have been hoping for all your life long, and you're still hoping, you're still waiting? I thought about having you discuss these things together, but instead I thought, you know what we should do is just take a minute and just concentrate. I want you to think of that one thing or that two things that came into your mind. When you think about this, this is what I'm hoping for. If you have your sermon notes, you can write that down. I just, or anywhere close to you, just write that person, write that thing, write that event or activity or expectation down and hold that in your heart. Because this is the scenario that we read about in the Old Testament. Isaiah chapter 9. And I want to go ahead and turn your attention to the book of Isaiah, if you would. Just kind of find it there. It's close to the middle of your Bibles. It's right about here. And And we're going to look at a couple chapters, but it's specifically Isaiah chapter 9. Because here's what's going on. The Christmas story begins thousands of years before the birth of Jesus, the Messiah. And God's people, maybe you can relate to this, were waiting, anticipating, longing for, hoping some more, and hoping. And it just kept right on going until months became years, and years became decades, and decades became centuries of waiting and hoping for the day that the Messiah, the King of Kings, would arrive. We see it all through Scripture, all through the Old Testament, and especially in the prophets. And Greg earlier mentioned Malachi. It's all through this theme of holy expectation, of hope, and especially in the book of Isaiah. And Isaiah is really kind of famous for, especially this Christmas season, of pointing us to the Messiah at Christmas time. So if you have your Bibles and you're in Isaiah 9, you're going to see, if you even thumb through the first 8 chapters, that this is an exciting book. It's a preacher's paradise. I mean, this is thing full of action, full of all kinds of stories and crazy stuff. We've got a preacher who's touched on the lip, prophet who's touched on the lips by an angel from heaven. It's an amazing story. You got a guy who's willing to say the hard things, who's willing to spread out hope and love to the people of Israel. You got a guy who's preaching in his underwear through the, no kidding, you can read all about it in Isaiah. It's there. This guy is just, man, he's always doing something. It's full of action and warnings and promises. And Isaiah, all through it, was writing, and this is important to know, he was writing in a time of darkness. The book tells us about nations who had fallen from God, a need for repentance, turning back to God. And of course, all through it, just streaming throughout the book, is hope. As we've talked about, hope is typically understood as optimism. You know, it's this anticipation or wishful thinking about circumstances. You know, we kind of hope that this situation will turn out this way. We hope that this will end up, bending in this direction, and we have this anticipation. But hope, the hope that Isaiah prophesies about, has less to do with circumstances and more to do with a person and a kingdom. When he talks about hope, it's about waiting on God to come and be with us in a person named Emmanuel, the Messiah. So here in Isaiah, we have this hope of a coming king who would one day bring forgiveness and peace and redemption and justice for those who walk in the light of the Lord. And that is just in the first 2 chapters. And Isaiah here, you got to know this, is written 700 years before the birth of Jesus. So Isaiah gives God's people of Israel hope in this coming Messiah who would make all things right. But man, generations of people lived and died and never saw this hope come true. That's hope. Hope when we just don't know. A Messiah who would make all things right. So here we have a prophet saying, hark, 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 I've got good news. Listen to me. He's standing on the street. Anybody wants to know, listen to me. Listen to God. I've got good news. So this all starts to kind of get traction in chapter 7, where Isaiah gives us a glimpse of the Messiah in a double promise. He's given it to a king named Ahaz. These words might sound familiar to you. Isaiah chapter 7, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. 700 years before the birth of Jesus, hope is coming. In a person. His name is Emmanuel, God with us. But we need to understand the context of Isaiah chapter 9 and what Isaiah and when Isaiah and where Isaiah is saying the words that we're about to read. So I want to stop, and I just kind of want you to see something this morning. I want you to feel this and understand this with me. The message of Isaiah for us today is that there is hope in the darkness. Hope in the darkness. Do you see it? Hope in the darkness. This was Isaiah's world. This was his message. You see, the nations around him, and especially and including Israel, were off the rails morally, spiritually. They're in darkness. And Isaiah was preaching to a people in need of hope. Chapter 8, verses 16 through 22, verse 17 says, I will wait for the Lord who is hiding his face from the house of Jacob. You talk about darkness. And he says these words, I will hope in him. If they do will not speak, verse 20 says, according to the word, it's because they have no dawn. Darkness is here. He's speaking to a people in need of hope. Verse 20 says, they will pass through the land greatly distressed and hungry. And when they're hungry, they will be enraged. And they will speak contemptuously against their king and their God and turn their faces upward. And they will look to the earth. But behold, distress and darkness, the gloom of anguish, and they will be thrust into thick darkness. I think we need to sit in this for a moment. I really do. Because most of us know someone in need of hope. And we live and move and work in a world that's dark and in need of hope. And maybe today, that's you. I know Christmas is supposed to be merry and bright, and it is. And we talk about, you know, the holly jolly Christmas and, the, you know, and all the season. But honestly, this morning, maybe you or someone you know is just feeling like they have been thrust into darkness, just like Isaiah says, and hopeless. Maybe it's grief over someone you've lost. It's not going to be a Christmas this year. Or maybe it's family drama and just things going on everywhere and you're just not sure how this is going to turn out. Maybe it's finances and you're wondering how you're going to pay for all the plans you've made and the things you want to do, or kids who are just, you know, just kind of rebelling against your parents, or parents who just aren't showing up and aren't present, and there's just this thing going on in your house right now. Or maybe it's at work or it's school and all the pressure and the darkness swirling around. Maybe it's physical pain, diagnosis, sickness. Look, I know we got a million reasons to be thankful this morning. We've talked about this, and Thanksgiving just happened, and we celebrate, and we have lots of reasons to be joyful. We know that. But if we're honest, the distress and the gloom and the anguish, the darkness, well, honestly, it might just be getting a little old. We need hope. I hope that this Christmas will slow down. We'll allow Advent to remind us that we need hope, that the world around us needs hope, needs a king of hope and of peace and of joy, of love, a king who is coming in victory, even in the darkness. Today, I want to feel the weight of the weight, to understand what the nation of Israel might have been going through 700 years ago. Because for some of us, it feels like 700 years we've been waiting for that one thing to happen. And if that's you this morning, I wish I did, but I don't have all the answers. I have conversations with some of you this morning, and I don't know what to say. And maybe you don't either, to that friend or that family member. But here's what we can do. We can sit with one another, and we can hope together. And even in the darkness, we can turn each other towards the light of Jesus and hold on to hope. And we do that when we pray. So right now, if it's okay, I just want to take a moment to just be quiet. Because maybe there's someone on your heart, or maybe it's even you this morning. Just to sit. In the darkness, understanding that there's hope. It won't come from us. It comes from our King. And think of that one thing you're hoping for. And just pray. And if you're sitting next to someone today, you know they need hope. Feel free to just put a hand on their shoulder. Because you know, and they know you know. And let's hope together in prayer. Because we sit together with a God who cares. We sit together with a God who is with us and with family who care. That's what the church is all about. Not just for the bright times and the merry times, but in the dark times and the times when we need each other. And that is exactly what Isaiah is talking about here in Acts, or in Isaiah chapter 9. It's all set up in this world of darkness in chapter 8. God has a word of hope for his people. Hark, hark, hark. We can turn the lights back up. I want to see your faces. Hark. Do y'all believe that today? Hark, God has good news for us. In fact, that's the vision statement of CCW. If you didn't know, it's to share the hope of Jesus with everyone around us, with all people. And we need to know that hope today. There is hope. Isaiah is making that clear. Isaiah chapter 9, verses 1 through 5. This is where the gloom turns to brightness. Verse 3, Isaiah preaches this prophetic perfect tense. He's switching gears here. He's so sure of the future. He's talking as if it's already happened. Listen to his words. There will be, this is the future. There will be no gloom for her who was in anguish. It's going to disappear. In latter time, it says in the future, he has made glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. Hope. Look at verse 2. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Words of hope he's given us. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has the light shone. That's what we've been talking about, singing about, celebrating this morning. We know the light that is in the Messiah Jesus. Verse 3, you have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They will rejoice before you. That is hope words. Verse 5, peace is going to come. So wait, wait. Hold on to hope. There's a hope in the future. There's also hope in prophecies and promises. Look at verses 6 and 7. Look, that what we are about to read, what we've already read this morning, is just one of over 350 specific prophecies in biblical history that point to nobody else but Jesus as the long-awaited Messiah, the Son of God. These are fulfilled prophecies and promises, and they're huge reasons that a lot of us are following Jesus today, and a reason that can move us into hope as we look back and we look at these prophecies that have been fulfilled. It gives us something to hope in for the future as well, and to place our hope even in the dark times in a God who is faithful. Isaiah is loaded with these prophecies and promises. Chapter 9 includes one. We've already looked at it a little bit today. In fact, most of us are going to read this or see it on a Christmas card or in a song this season. He's saying, hark, look, there's hope. Look at verse 6. For to us a child is born. The Messiah will be fully human. That's what this means. It means he'll be born as a baby to us, and to us a son. To us, a son is given. This is a capital S. It's talking about a Messiah, talking about a child who is fully human, but also fully divine. A gift given to us by God himself, and the government shall be on his shoulders. This God-given God-man will one day rule as king over all nations, and his name, he's got a name, his name shall be called. And I love this. In the Hebrew, it actually says, his name is called. He is. This child, this son is called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Rest in these words this morning. Look at those words today. This name above all names, Wonderful Counselor. He is full of divine wonder. He is divine wisdom. In him can we trust, even in the darkness. He is Mighty God. He is our creator, mighty in power over the enemies of sin and death and the evil one. He is our everlasting Father. He is eternal. He is one with our forever Father who is in heaven. Hallowed be his name. He has come from heaven to earth with the love of our Abba Father to share it with us. This is the King of Kings, Jesus. And we're going to talk about this love that's come in just a couple of weeks. And he says he is the Prince of Peace. Peace. He is Lord, the Prince who comes to bring peace with God and with each other, and even peace with ourselves. And we're going to talk about peace next week. And speaking of peace, look at the next verse, Isaiah 9:7. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end. Remember those words, no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it, to uphold it with justice and with righteousness, for from this time forth and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. The zeal of the Lord will do this. He is faithful. God is faithful. 700 years later, we see the Christmas story starting to develop before our eyes in the New Testament. And this prophecy, Isaiah 9:7, is continued by an angel who visits Mary, and it's fulfilled in Jesus. The angel says, hark, listen to this. Luke 1:32-33. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. Going all the way back to Isaiah 700 years later, listen to these words. The Lord God will give to him the throne of his father, David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom, there will be no end. Hope. You see, hope is in a person. And as the story builds, we see that God is coming to be with us, and this prophecy would come true. Matthew 1, we see it again. Hark, another angel shows up. He talks to Joseph. He says, she, Mary is going to bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Which prophet? Isaiah, yes. Verse 23, behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. 700 years after Isaiah said those words, it's all coming to pass. Hope has come. Christ is born. You're not going to want to miss the next 3 weeks. So just come on back. We're going to talk about Matthew 1 and Luke 2 and John 1. We're going to celebrate the fact that Christ has come. He has been born. But Christ hasn't just come. He is coming back. He is returning once again. Christ will return. You see, Jesus came once. And just as sure as he came once, we can be sure that he's coming back. Joy to the world. In fact, the New Testament tells this story. And in Titus 2, Paul writes these words. The grace of God has appeared. It appeared. He appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions, to turn away from the world. He says, to live self-controlled, upright, godly lives in this present age, waiting for our blessed hope. What's our blessed hope? the appearing of the glory, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. We wait for our blessed hope, the return of Jesus Christ in victory as the coming King. Look, it took centuries for Jesus to come the first time. Centuries. And when he did, he took care of sin and death forever and ever with his life and his death on the cross and his resurrection from the dead. It's taken centuries. And we are in the middle of this hope, in the middle of this waiting. It has taken centuries for Jesus to return. But he will return. He is coming back. And until then, we wait. And we wait with hope in a faithful God who keeps his promises. And while we wait, we can be sure that hope comes to us right here, right now, because Christ is born, not just in Bethlehem, Christ is born in you and in me. And this might blow your mind a little bit. We talk about Christ is coming back, but in the here and now, I believe Jesus is born over and over and over again by his Spirit every time someone gives their life to Jesus and dies to themselves and is baptized and the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of us. We are born again to live for Christ. Hope comes to us through Christ by his Spirit. Hope arrives in us, and hope does life for us and with us. Hope in eternity? Yes. Hope in Christ coming back? Yes. But real hope is also knowing that he is with us right here, right now, always. Even and especially in the darkness. So today I need to let you know, if you want hope in you, you have to have Christ in you. Our hope is in Christ. And if we're putting our hope in other things and the things of the world, he has come to us and he has come to you. The question we need to ask is, will we come to him? Will you come to him? Especially in those times of darkness. Romans 5, Paul talks about this. He says, hope does not put us to shame. Hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. His Spirit has been given to us. Same words Isaiah uses. Romans chapter 8, a few chapters later, Paul says, this hope, for in this hope we were saved. Now, hope that is seen isn't hope. It's not hope if you can see it, he says. For who hopes for what he's already seen? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. We wait. And that's what Advent's about. To listen, hark, to wait with hope. For peace, for love, for joy. And as we wait for Christmas, as we focus our hope on Jesus, that we might hear and believe the prayer and the blessing of the Apostle Paul over God's people, over us, in Romans chapter 15. Paul quotes Isaiah, Romans 15, 13. Just allow these words to sit over you this morning. The root of Jesse will come, even he who arises to rule the Gentiles. In him will the Gentiles hope. Verse 13, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. This is God's will for us. that we would abound in hope, that we would experience hope this Christmas, today, this week, this month, and throughout our lives. So hark, listen. This is actually like real life stuff. This is stuff that we can know and experience and abound in right here and right now. Hark, man, make time. Make time. I beg you to do that this Christmas season before we get all rushing through life, that we would make time to be with the Lord himself. Take time to be in his word. Take time to slow down and get away. 5 minutes, 10 minutes, maybe for an entire day, and be quiet and wait on him. Focus on the hope that we have in Christ and listen. Listen, hark, pay attention to him and to the good news. Open your eyes, open your ears to Christ's presence and to the hope that's all around us if we will just slow down and look for him. Stop. Be with your wonderful counselor, your mighty God, your everlasting Father, your Prince of Peace. Rest in him. And as we focus on that hope that we receive from the Father, that we then go and give the gift of hope to others, that we would share the hope, that we would encourage someone that we might encounter every single day or maybe for a one-time thing, and we would bring hope to that person who might be in a hopeless place. And if you're in a hopeless place today, just to walk up to someone that you know and say, hey, look, I need some hope today. Would you give me some? And pray and go to the Lord together and find that hope together. We can do that with our words. We can do that with our resources. We can give. We're going to give gifts to people this Christmas. Let's give those special gifts. Maybe an invitation to your home or to coffee and just sit down next to that person. Maybe invite them and save a seat for them during our Christmas Eve service. Bring hope into their lives. That's what it's for. It's to share with others. To do that, we've got resources all over the place that you can share in. One of them is this document that Josh has put together. It's an amazing resource. It takes us all the way through the month of December. I'm looking forward to doing this with Lisa and our family. Grab one of these at the Next Step stations, and it'll give you things to think about and to hope in and to find peace and love and joy throughout the month of December. If you're on Sermon Pop on Facebook, you'll find resources there. We're going to be posting those through the Bible Project and other things. There are so many ways out there, but to just find a way to get quiet and listen and to spend that time with the Lord. And we're going to sing a song right now called Living Hope. Living Hope. We're going to celebrate the hope we have in Jesus. And as we do, and before we do, I just want to take a moment again to just focus on the hope that we have in Christ. And I'm going to read a poem, a prayer to you. It is a prayer of hope. It's called I Am Silent and Expectant. So if you would, just once again, let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Or if you want to look at the candle, the hope candle, to just be silent and listen. How silently the wondrous gift is given. I would be silent now, Lord, and expectant that I might receive the gift I need so I may become the gifts others need to share the hope of Christ in me with the world. It's in the name of our living hope, Jesus Christ, that we pray and that we sing. Amen.